Lake County is home to many minority entrepreneurs who strengthen the local small business community. Each week, we'll bring you one of their stories. Welcome to Neighborhood Voice. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week we're joined by Chelsea Whittington, owner of CWIT PR Consulting Firm. Hi, and welcome.
Hello, Erica. Thank you so much for having me in studio.
Thank you so much for being on, and Chelsea has been such a great connector for me in the community and getting to know a lot of the business owners that have been on the show previously, and so I just wanted to get to know your story and hear more from you.
Well, I thank you again for having me, and as you're saying, me being a connector, it makes me immediately think of my father, who was an entrepreneur here in the city of Gary, owning a gas station for almost 40 years. And I worked in that alongside my siblings. I pumped gas. I ran the cash register when we converted into a convenience store. I helped train employees. And so the entrepreneurial bug has been in my system all of my life. However, I will say that I fought it as long as I could. I ultimately opened my public relations firm on my birthday in 2019. But prior to that, I have been in the field of communications and public relations, holding positions that 9-to-5. But I finally grabbed hold of my 5-to-9 passion, and it has materialized into a growing business where I'm able to promote other businesses. So it's a dream come true.
But you were doing, you said, as you said, PR long before 2019.
Absolutely.
So what made you think now is the right time, other than it was your birthday?
Exactly. So I have worked for brands in both profit, nonprofit, governmental, educational spaces, which has given me a well-rounded portfolio of entities that I've worked for. Ebony Magazine, U.S. Cellular, the City of Gary, Chicago Urban League, and the list goes on and on, the Peace Corps. And so I have had that experience, and I kept finding myself saying, I could do this on my own because I've done it for so many different organizations and individuals. So I did originally start out in 2015 just taking random contracts here and there, working with individuals on specific projects. They turned out to be rather successful. And then with the nudging from my spouse, Terrell, he just kept saying, honey, you can do this for yourself. And when I got the call from the Gary Community School Corporation in January of 2019, they were looking for a consultant to assist with relaying the messaging for the school district, helping to get the community involved and updated with the turnaround of the district. I saw that as a way to definitely open my business. One of the best things about it is I'm a product of the Gary Schools. And a little over 20 years ago, I served as the director of public relations for the Gary Schools. So my, how things come full circle. And so in negotiating with them and looking at my timeline and my commitments with my current employer at the time, which was the Chicago Urban League, I took that leap of faith in March of 2019. And that's really what put me there, because when you are seeking to go out on your own, you definitely want to go out on solid financial footing and making sure that you will be able to support yourself. And I always pose the question, what if these contracts don't come in? Or what if they end sooner than I anticipated them to? And so I wanted to be ready from that standpoint as well. But the best news I will share with you, Erica, is that many of the companies and organizations for whom I previously worked are now my clients. And so the Chicago Urban League is a client, so I still get to work with the amazing people with whom I connected as an employee for 4 years, and several others. And so it is the best of both worlds.
Yes, it is. And it's a testament then to your work with them and how strongly they felt about how you were able to strategize their brand and their outreach, that they hired you now as their consultant rather than, you know, under them as an employee.
Yes. Yes.
So just like our newly inaugurated vice president, you also went to Howard University.
I did. HU.
And so can you talk to me about how you feel like the HBCU experience, or maybe Howard specifically, prepared you and supported you during your path to where you are now?
Excellent question. I am always excited to talk about Dear Howard. I am a proud graduate of Howard University class of 1994 School of Communications. I was enrolled in an inaugural program called the Annenberg Honors Program, where I received a full ride and I was able to study communications and hold internships on Capitol Hill. And the experience is something that I will never forget. Ironically enough, my first degree was in broadcast journalism. I thought I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now, on the microphone, hosting a show. However, the internships that I was afforded at Howard introduced me to other careers in communications, one being public relations. So I was able to intern for the recruitment office for the Peace Corps, and I got my first dabble, if you will, with public relations because they had me doing recruitment events, they had me writing press releases, and doing my recruitment of the program on Howard's campus. I knew that I wanted to be a communicator. I knew that I wanted to tell the stories of others and be that kind of behind-the-scenes person, but really to persuade people to follow the brands that I promote and the ideals and the programs. And so that's why I feel like my experience at Howard set me on that path. And my supervisor at the time at the Peace Corps made the recommendation that I extend my education to study more in PR. And so I returned home and I attended Purdue University and completed my master's in organizational communication. So that aligned me with both the broadcast piece as well as the PR piece. And then I was able to start securing roles throughout the Northwest Indiana area in the field of communications.
And so I'll rewind a little bit. Before you went to Howard, did you know that you, or how did you know that you wanted to study communications? Were you a outgoing child? Were you in front of the video camera? You said you worked at your father's convenience store, mm-hmm. So it seems like a little bit of a jump, but...
Yeah, well, I will share with you, in my early formative years, I thought I was going to be a teacher, and I am. I'm a professor at Indiana Wesleyan University as well as Indiana University for the past 20 years. But I thought I was going to be a teacher in the elementary, middle school area for students with special needs. I have a cousin who is deaf or hearing impaired. And when we would take our vacations in the summertime, those long car rides, she would teach us sign language to pass the time away because obviously we didn't have devices and things like that growing up. And I was so intrigued with communicating with her through sign language that I thought that was what my role was going to be. As I became a teenager, and in communicating with my mom, I was just very persuasive. You know, teenagers like to tell their parents what they need, what types of clothes they need, mm-hmm. where they need to go. And my mother laughingly said once, "You need to go into PR. You are so persuasive." And I was like, "What is PR?" And so, of course, I had to do my research on it. And it's basically the art of persuasion, getting people to think the way that you think. And so that planted the seed. But I was always involved in church and Saturday school, where I had lead roles in plays. And I had to do the welcome. And I still am the church hostess to this day, where I'm at the microphone. So I didn't have a fear of public speaking. And I think that's really what set me on the path to having a field, being in the field of communications.
Yes. And now hearing that you thought you would become a teacher, you did become a teacher in a different way. Mm-hmm. And also that you bring people along, you educate them on brands. So similar path, but
yes, marrying the two worlds, if you will. And if I could add that I recently launched a branch of my business called CWIT University, where the different skills that I have honed over the years, I have now translated into courses that business and the general community members can take to learn some of the things that I do to help promote their own brands.
And what's the name of that again?
CWIT University. So it's CWIT PR is the name of my company. And underneath that brand is CWIT University.
I will be checking that out. And so you've named a few of the brands, the organizations that you've worked with. What are some of the common PR, maybe mistakes that companies make that you come in, you have to correct them?
Well, one of the main mistakes companies make is not having a PR department. When I was working for a company that shall remain unnamed, when they were going through some financial difficulty, one of the first areas they looked to cut was the public relations and communications team, and that's a major mistake. And I think people are finding that more and more, particularly now that we live in such a digital society, mm-hmm. and news spreads much faster than an overnight cycle when you say, oh, we'll just wait for it to come out in the paper tomorrow and deal with it. But now you have to be ahead of things. You have to predict trends, and I think a lot of businesses don't recognize that. They're more reactive than proactive, and that's where PR types like myself come in to help clean up and say, what are some potential problems that you may have going down the road of what your industry is? Things may be rosy now, but you always should have a rainy day plan in place. And so I think one of the major mistakes some companies make is forgetting about when the rainy days may come. Mm-hmm. Who are the identified spokespersons, and being able to be responsive and getting ahead of the game when it comes to a time of crisis, because a lot of companies don't even think about crisis, and then they're scrambling, and it shows in the public, you're scrambling.
Yes, yes. And I think a lot of companies, if they weren't prepared, especially for the pandemic come 2020, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't targeting a specific business or a specific industry, it certainly brought on a lot of rainy days, I think, for many businesses.
Absolutely. And it was conversely a positive in many ways for people in my industry, because they were calling on us to assist with digital efforts, helping to get the word out now that mm-hmm. we don't have as many in-person interactions. How do I put my brand forward in a digital space? And since part of my company's mission is to help build brands, a lot of different companies and organizations have been calling on us to assist with getting the word out about what they're doing now that we are in a season of a pandemic. So I am grateful for the influx of business. It has taught me a lot. It has forced me to up my skill levels. I thought I was, you know, technologically savvy, but there's so much more to learn as we are all learning. And what did they say the phrase of 2020 was? Is you're on mute. You know, you're learning all of these different conference calls and Zooms. But it has empowered me to help my clients push their brands to areas and individuals whom they hadn't previously thought about. So mm-hmm. the things that they were selling, if you will, in Northwest Indiana, they are now more on a national platform. And I have some clients on international platforms. And so in that way, the pandemic has been something that has offered us a chance to learn and expand.
It definitely created opportunities for those who were positioned to take advantage of them or bring on someone who could help them
yes.
position themselves well.
Yes.
And you alluded to this earlier a little bit about, you know, even the fast news cycle. But how have you seen the PR industry change since when you got into it, when you were first coming out of undergrad or even out of graduate school, to what it is now?
Well, that's such a funny question. I often chuckle of how fascinated we were by email. I still have my very first email account with Juno from back in 1995. I still use that account. Don't laugh at me, Juno. And when I was communicating with the media, it was the good old facsimile, which we know as the fax machine. And when I wanted to send out a press release, I could remember when I was the director of marketing and communications for the Lake Area United Way, I would go to the lobby and have my nice printed out copy of my press release, and I would have to push it through one by one to every media contact. And then there was the broadcast fax, where you could add up to 20 numbers at one time, and I really thought I was cooking with grease then. And so to see social media now and websites and the internet. I've lived through all of that when there was no such thing as a website and we're trying to get the word out. So it meant cold calling. It meant, you know, just calling an editor and saying, did you get that fax? Those types of things, which was time consuming. And then there was no guarantee whether they were going to cover it. And so now you have the email blasts, you have social media, you have TV and radio and all these things. And so I have watched my industry blossom, and I'm here for it all. And there's more to come. And so that's why I pride myself on making sure that I attend webinars and conferences and things that make me better at my craft and benchmark myself against the competition. It's critical in this space.
Yes, and now is the day of the influencer, right? Yes. This is the age of the influencer. And so how do you direct your clients to stand out amongst, you know, many people who are trying to, you know, help brand things and mm-hmm. and kind of be the face of a lot of different products?
Part of the solution to making my clients stand out is making sure that I stand out. They need to have representation by a company that's willing to do things that are out of the box. And so as I study my competition, I don't see a lot of my PR colleagues out doing Facebook Live interviews with their clients. I take the time to do that with all of my clients at least once a month. The extra push of promoting them not only on my business pages, but on my personal pages. And most of all, I enjoy cross-promoting my clients. Whenever there's an opportunity to bring them together for opportunities to promote themselves in the same space that makes sense, it doubles their impact. I'll give you a quick example. One of my clients is Adele's Beach Boutique, located in Gary's Miller section. We recently hosted an inaugural look fashion show where, since we're going to be at home, what do we wear for the inauguration? And I invited all of my clients to be in this fashion show that we broadcast live. And as they walked the runway, they got a chance to talk about their organizations. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. It was cross promotion. It was a good time. It was socially distanced. It was safe. And then the media picked up on it. And so everybody won, not just the boutique. And so those types of creative measures, it's not just I'm going to post something for you on social media. It's how do I get more eyeballs on this? And it's going to take a lot. But that's why CWIT is thriving, because we're committed to going the extra mile for our clients.
And you've been in it now. It'll be a couple of years this year on your own. So what are some lessons you've learned in going out on your own and starting your own business?
That's an amazing question, Erica. My very first answer is all money isn't good money. So just because somebody wants to do business with you doesn't mean you need to do business with them. I really emphasize and pride myself, if there's anybody who's in my field listening, I'm sure you will agree with me that you should ethically promote brands, ideas, and projects that you believe in. Just because they're waving dollars in your face to say, get this out here, I have to be able to sleep at night. And so I won't even categorize that as a lesson learned. That's my mantra, that if I am going to do this, I'm going to do it in earnest. I'm going to do it ethically. And I only work with brands and people whom I believe in, and they are about the right. The other piece I would say is a lesson learned is to make sure that I keep that balance going. And my husband and I have said that it's not work-life balance, it's life-work balance. Put life first. I am living my life to the fullest. I'm living my best life right now. And while I love work, work is secondary to who I am. People won't believe that if they look at my social media. But truth be told, I get sleep. I vacation. I have a whole separate life from CWIT PR. And that's another lesson that had to be learned. I will not stretch myself too thin, nor will I overpromise and underdeliver.
Good words to live by.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Chelsea, for being here. And if someone needs your PR help, how can they find you and get in contact with you?
I'd love to provide a complimentary consultation. You need only visit my website, cwhit.biz. That's CWHITT.biz. I am on all social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. If you type in CWIT or if you type in Chelsea Whittington, I'll pop up.
Thank you again. And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can find resources to build a better business at nwibizhub.com. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.